In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just a couple of weeks ago, while I was making a hospital visit, I met one of the many, many people who attended this parish when Father Willoughby was here. From her smile and the twinkle in her eye, I could tell that she still remembers what a wonderful priest, what a wonderful person he was. We spent some time together trying to dredge up memories of people who would have been here at that time, but pretty soon we gave it up, and I just invited her to come visit us now if she gets well and is able to come. When I was driving away from the hospital, I started to think that as hard as it was, even Jesus told his disciples goodbye. There must be thousands, probably more like millions, of religious leaders that have done so. When you just think about those who have touched our own communities, there are a huge number. If you give people an opening, they'll tell you how fantastic one preacher or another was. Ken Zeithoff could do no wrong. Mark Eilert was the greatest man ever. Of course, there was a woman who used to be in another church, and it wasn't particularly a good fit. There's always a story. There are even some bishops and priests that led their little flock of sheep away from the church, and that wasn't such a good thing. But for the most part, pastors, deacons, bishops, and priests are remembered fondly and usually have served with diligence, if not distinction. In the gospel, we hear the anguish of Jesus, who is lamenting his coming departure from his beloved disciples. We hear him musing as a part of a prayer he's praying for his friends and loved ones. It always catches me a bit by surprise to realize that Jesus prays for his friends. But of course, when I stop to think about it, I know that he would. He had loved his followers and knows that they were given to him by God. For several years, God gave him the words to say and the things to do and the miracles to perform to let all of them understand the mysteries that Jesus was sharing with them. All that Jesus had left to do was pray that God would protect them and sanctify them in the truth, which is the word of God. You probably know that to sanctify means to set something apart, to consecrate it as holy. That doesn't mean that they would be better than anyone else. It just means that they were dedicated to God, just like you and me. It's kind of shocking to realize that Jesus' prayer is for you and me, as much as it was for the original disciples. He knew that he was leaving, and he was expecting to start a chain reaction, beginning with the disciples. And he did. That's why Peter stood up in the group of followers and insisted that somebody be chosen to fill out the original 12. There were requirements. He had to be chosen from one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. Of course, they proposed two of the large crowd of men. Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justice, and Matthias. And then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in the ministry and apostleship which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. I'll tell you that when I was chosen as a priest in the Church of God, it was such an overwhelming experience for me. The priests who came and put their hands on me, who laid hands on me, reminded me of the long line of priests that had come before and reminded me that I was just another one who was coming to fulfill this work in our world. I was so surprised and I was so overwhelmed when I was selected, much more than I think maybe even Matthias. I don't know, maybe he was shocked and as overwhelmed as I was. But it would have been very hard to find something as deeply inspiring as the weight of those hands on me as I was ordained a priest. I don't want to any way, shape, or form imply that my leaving grace is anything like Jesus leaving his disciples, other than I feel such love for you, and I'm so confident that you're going to get better and better. The next person you call will be a part of the long line of individuals who have served God. And they will take you to a wonderful, wonderful place or wonderful places. You do need to know that I intend to keep praying for you forever. I will join Jesus in doing that because love is so central to God's purpose here on earth. These are not my final words to you, since there is still next week. It's just a remarkable coincidence that these readings we have heard over the last few weeks, the long goodbye of Jesus, fall in the weeks right before I go. It is a coincidence. But please don't be dismayed that I might spend all the rest of my time weeping and wailing. This gospel today is not a sad thing. It's not even about me, but it is most surely about you. You have been set aside as a holy people, people whom God has blessed with the ability to carry on Jesus' work. Don't ever forget that. Don't lose track of the job that God has given you. And don't forget all of the help that Jesus' prayers and my prayers and other people's prayers will still give you. You know, you guys, you've been here before. We've been blessed with generations of clergy who have served us well. And as for the ending of this particular time, you have to stick around till next week to hear the final chapter. Amen.